So, Father, we do come before you this morning. We honor you. We stand, we sit, we bow before you. We tell you that you are our God and that we are your people. And I thank you that your heart is toward us, your eye is upon us, and your good pleasure is all for us. And we thank you for that grace and favor that's in work in our life today. So, Father, we just give you honor in our prayer language. We give you praise and glory. We speak in the Spirit and we sing in the Spirit as we come into your presence. Well, welcome to Healing School this morning, July 1st. That's just hard for me to believe. Time has just flown by this year so fast. And part of it is due to Healing School, because I look forward to this every week. It's such an opportunity to teach and to share with you online and to pray for you as well. Let me urge you, if you are watching online, just let us know who's looking in. But also let me urge you, if you can get here, there is something about being in the corporate presence that just makes it really special. And we take time to pray for every individual who desires it at the end of the service. So please come and join us on Thursday mornings at 10:30 here at High Point Church. Let me pray as we get started this morning. Father, I thank you that my tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. I hear your voice, Lord, and the voice of no other will I respond to. I thank you today we'll speak the oracles that you've given us. I thank you that you've influenced this teaching today. It's not just out of my head, but this is your heart for us today. And we give you praise and glory and honor. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. We will be changed and we will never be the same again as we're washed in this, the water of your word. And it's in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus we pray and say, amen. The last, three times that I've taught at Healing School, we've been talking about healing power toward me. And let me just remind you that if you look in Ephesians 1, we're not going to look at that this morning. But the Lord talks about the great power that was exerted, and it said it's toward us. Toward us. And that's where this title really came from, because healing power has been made available for you and I today. But if we don't see it as good for you and I as see ourselves as worthy of receiving it, not worthy in ourselves, but worthy as who we are in Christ Jesus, then we won't believe that and we won't be able to put ourselves in a position to receive it. So let me just do a review. Last week we talked about His presence in glory and in power. And we've anchored this study in Luke 5:17, and I want you to put your eyes on it again today as we bring it on the screen. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town in Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And this is the phrase we've really been focusing on. And the power of the Lord, as we're talking about healing power, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now the interesting part to me about this is there were people like the one who was let down through the roof who wanted to be healed. But yet these religious leaders, they had such confidence, even though they were coming maybe in criticism to see if he would heal. They had more confidence than most folks in churches do today that Jesus is a healer. And what he did yesterday, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will do for you and I today. And so we can rest assured that as we begin to minister the word of the Lord in the anointing, that healing power is here. And it's for you as well, that you that are watching over Facebook Live or hearing over the website here at High Point. That same healing power is here for you and I today. Now the word for power in the Greek is the word dunamis. It literally means a force. It's normally talking about miraculous power or a miracle, and it's translated many of those things. But you'll see it translated power, you'll see it translated strength. I think it's even might in the King James in one place. But that word dunamis comes from a word dunamahi, which literally means to make possible. And so I like to think of it in this way. Power that makes possible. Makes possible what? What do you need? It'll make possible everything that we need in our life today. And what did we just sing? Healing power is available today, just like it was in that house years ago as Jesus walked the earth. I also want you to look at 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24 today. We've seen this one. Now look at this. Paul is teaching to the people in Corinth, and the Greeks were very interested in learning new things. That's what they were all about. And look what this says. Paul says, but I preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews it's a stumbling block because it went against their religion. They didn't understand the revelation of it. And to the Gentiles it was foolishness. And then 24 says, but to those who are called, and that's you and I, those who have been called and who have responded, as many of you online have, and if you haven't, please let us know here and we will pray with you concerning that and we'll solve that issue. But to those who are called, us today, the body of Christ, regardless of whether they're Jew or Greek, all people made into one, this says that Christ is the power of God, and he's also to us the wisdom of God. You know, I think we separate sometimes wisdom and power. And we look at it as though, yeah, God's wisdom, and that's what we get in teaching. And teaching is good. I'm not saying against it. But this tells me that we need to pay much attention as we are taught. And today we're going to be taught about the power of God. We need to pay as much attention to that power element of it as we do to the wisdom. You know, Paul also went on to write that we needed to have faith, believing in the power of God. Now, a lot of churches will talk about power and power and more power. But you know as well as I that there are demonstrations of power in this earth that are not of the Lord. And so we just can't look at power. We've got to have the wisdom of God flowing inside us with the Holy Spirit being able to identify us, what is from the Lord, what is not, to keep us in His way and doing His work. Now, these next ones we're not going to look at, but just let me read through a couple real quickly. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So what is it saying? The good news about Jesus. Paul talked about preaching the cross, preaching Christ crucified. That is good news. Although to the unsaved world and to those who don't really understand it, it seems like what? Great foolishness. And so he goes on to say, is the power of God for salvation to all who believes. Now the word salvation, as we've talked before, means much, much more, I would say, than just a ticket to heaven. It includes healing, it includes preservation, it includes deliverance, a broad spectrum of things. Thus why we talk about salvation. In fact, the word sozo, which means saved, is often translated to be made whole, to be made sound. And so what I want you to see with this is that there is power in this good news of Jesus and what happened on the cross, what he bore for you and I. And that power is made available to you, and it will heal your body, even as we talk about it now, if we'll believe it, if we'll take it in. So we've got to see that his power works in us. And it's that same power that was exerted when he was raised from the dead that allows us to be born again, that provides for healing and deliverance, a sound mind, all those things that we desire. And I believe with all my heart the Lord desires for us. So we talked about his presence being in glory and power. And I asked you to consider the throne. Several descriptions of the throne. Ezekiel 1 is one of them. where he talks about the Lord and all that it's looking on, the light, the different colors, the flashing of the lights, the brightness of it. Oh, can you just imagine the power that is there flowing? And then we've got to understand that the main recipient of that glory, of that power, is you and I. The Lord just, He cares about us that much that He's made us. We looked at examples of His presence. And in those examples, we always saw glory, we saw power, and we saw goodness. Because you can't separate. What did Moses say? Show me your glory. And what did God let him see? His goodness. And so you cannot separate that. One example that we looked at was when Moses finished the work of the temple. Let me just read you that. It's in Exodus 40, verses 33b through 35. It says, Moses in 33 finished the work. So the tabernacle had been built. And then it says, then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. God's glory is a substance. That cloud is a substance that is real. We think of it in some kind of an esoteric way where it's just something that maybe floats around. But it is a real, viable entity. And it says, Moses was not able to enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled it. Now think about that. Moses intended to go in, but something stopped him. Now those who were in the glory, when it fell sometime, what would they do? They would fall to the floor. They were not able to walk. But here, Moses was unable to enter it. That physical presence of the glory stopped him. And I began thinking, well, what is that cloud? What is in that cloud? We know that glory is there. But Revelation 15:8, talking about the heavenly temple, says this, and the temple, the heavenly temple, was filled with smoke, or that cloud, good smoke, something you could breathe in, from the glory of God and from His power. So what did we learn last week? That in that glory, there is power. That's why in His presence, when we enter into His presence, we ought to expect a manifestation of that power. Something ought to change as we go into His presence. People who have been in His presence, I've heard testimonies of healing. I've heard testimonies of great revelation. But every time, power was manifested and a change occurred. And so that ought to encourage you and I that we today can come boldly to that throne of grace to take mercy and receive grace to help in time of need. So we looked at a number of examples, Old Testament and New. And let me just remind you, the one that is glorious, the one that we are talking about, if you're a believer, is your Father. Or I'd rather say is my Daddy, my Abba Father. The greatness, the awesomeness of that glory is my Father. And the pinnacle of grace is that He chose to place Himself in me in the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What a gift we have. But also what an awesome responsibility we take with it. Because we're called to do something with it. It's just not so I can go around feeling something all the time. I'm to use that. And that's really where I believe the Lord is taking us in these last days. Now, I just need to note, there's not always this same level of power manifesting. But that doesn't mean that the power is not resident, the glory is not resident in you. Again, this is our Father, El Shaddai, God Almighty, El Elyon, God Most High, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. That is our Daddy, and we have been given the family name. So today, I want to talk a little differently about the power. And I want to begin talking today about being strengthened by His power. You and I being strengthened. And you may begin to think, well, are you talking about physical strength? Possibly. And I'm talking about every other kind of strengthening that you can imagine that we need. That in our body, that in our soul, in our soulish realm as well. Look with me at 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at the first chapter. Now, as we look at this, I just want to ask this question. Have any of you ever gotten to the point where you feel like, and maybe came out of your mouth, I just can't take it no more. I can't go on. It's like we're what? At the end of our rope. And what I want you to see today is you're not alone. There are a lot of people who think, I'm never going to get that way. But I would beg to differ, because we're going to look at Paul here in this account. And what we're going to see is that Paul had some issues, and sometimes the same pressures that we feel, different pressures, but the same result, same impact on our body, came against him. But what we can see is Paul wasn't defeated. He walked in victory right through it. So look down with me, and we're just going to read a portion of these, only three verses. We're going to start in verse 8. And we'll read this verse, and I want to talk about it, and then we'll read 9 and 10. Paul says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia." Now let me stop. You know, a lot of affliction came to Paul. He went through a lot of things. But this is not talking about afflictions like sickness. But sickness can have some of the same impacts on us in our soulish realm, and we think and respond in a similar way. He goes on and says, "They came to us in Asia that we were burdened excessively." Now listen to his words. And I dare say every one of us, including you watching with us, has felt that before. "We were burdened excessively, beyond our strength. I can't take it more on anymore. I can't go on anymore like this. So that we despaired." And then Paul says that he despaired even of life. Now, he obviously had some severe things going on at this point. Problems. What he's saying here is, I wasn't sure I would really make it. And look at his words here. "Beyond my limits to withstand." Beyond. Excessive. Despair. Yet, he didn't get beyond his limits where he lost hope. But he reached that point where he felt as if, I may not make it. Now, have you and I ever been there? So, I would say Paul was maybe losing a battle or two, but he was not defeated. Why? Because even though he was beyond his limits and it hit the end of the row, he had faith in the power of God. And you're going to see that is part of our hope. Verse 9 picks up. "For we do not want you to be unaware," excuse me, "indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we might not trust in ourselves," or shouldn't trust in ourselves, "but in God who raises the dead." So Paul felt like, I'm not going to make it. But he didn't go by his feelings. What did he continue to do, even in this terrible time? He trusted, he focused on the Lord God. And then he would buoy himself by that, by saying, this is the God who raises the dead. Okay, if I'm not through with my work and something happens to me, this God can raise me up again so that I can walk on and accomplish everything. Again, the sentence of death is in us, but we're not trusting in our own strength. Whose strength are we trusting in? The Lord's God. In doing so then, what I'm saying is, we're not focusing on what we see, but we're putting our total focus on the Lord, who He is, and that includes His power. Again, as we talked about earlier, having faith, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5, or 1 Corinthians 5, in the power of God. Now, with that then, let me just pause and say, when we feel that way, where do we look to first? Where do we look to first? Do we look to myself? Do I look to myself in my own strength or my own wisdom? Or do I look, and please hear this with the heart I'm saying it, do we look first to some medical solution here on the earth? Doctors are working for us, I believe. They want us well. They're not able to heal us, but they can certainly remediate and help in some ways. But my question is, where am I looking? Me or some process or some procedure or some other person? Or am I looking to His power? Do we have an example of someone who looked somewhere else? Yeah. Wasn't it Hezekiah that got sick and looked and ended up, prophet went and said, you're going to die. And then he repented, and what happened? Prophet turned around, go back and tell him he's got more time. So what we want to make sure we do is we look at the Lord Jesus, that we believe in His power so that we look to it and then we trust Him versus looking at myself and what I can do. You know, really, that's saying this is another way to walk by faith and not by sight. It's also calling things that be not as though they were, which is the way that faith speaks. 1 John 4:4. We just need to constantly remind ourselves when we get in these situations that the greater one with His power lives in me. Look at the last half of this verse. Well, let's read the whole thing. You are from God, little children. And sometimes we, even as adults, or act as little children, we get so overpowered by things of the world that it causes us to just step back in that mode. But this says, because we're from God, we have overcome. And we've overcome because, what? Greater is He who is in you and I than he who is in the world. And so this just needs to constantly be before us, that even though things look bad, greater are you, Lord. Stronger are you than anything that can come against me in this world. Now, if we can go back to 1 Corinthians 1, and we'll finish up here in this segment of Scripture with verse 10. Verse 9 concludes by saying, we don't trust in ourselves, but it's in God who raises the dead. And then verse 10 reads this way, who delivered us from such a great peril of death. So what is Paul doing? He's remembering the times that God hath taken him from that point of no return, he thought, and delivered him. So he's saying He has delivered us. And look at the next phrase. And He will deliver us. So in this then, we see in 2 Corinthians 1:10 that Paul is acknowledging He has and He will. And that in itself is a great, great encouragement. Paul, I want you to see, even though he felt like he was at his wit's end, he went beyond himself and pulled hope from the greater one that dwells deep inside him. Now, I want you to look at another example. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 12. And I want to read this to you out of the New King James. I think it is reads a little better than it does in the New King James in my New American Standard. And I want to be honest and tell you, when the Lord dropped this in my heart, I had some second thoughts, because we normally teach these verses as verses that, what we teach is, we're not talking about a physical condition. We're not saying that Paul was given a thorn in the flesh that was something spiritual, whether it was his eyes or whatever. And you're going to see that today, because we're going to just mention it, but that's not what I want you to pick up today. We're just telling you what we're looking at. So let's start in verse 5. Of such a one I will boast. He's talking about one who has been caught up into heaven. Yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities, or I would say in my weaknesses. So Paul is here acknowledging that he has weaknesses, just as we've seen in the scriptures that we just read in 2 Corinthians. He continues in 6, "For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, because I will speak the truth." And I really like this about Paul. He says, "I will refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me." In other words, I'm not going to boast about me, because if I don't live up to what I'm boasting about, this could impact someone else. That's not what I'm supposed to do. And then verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations." And let's face it, Paul did get an abundance of revelations. And we ought to honor him for that, that he was willing to seek God, that he was willing to listen, that he was willing to be bold when it was outside the mainstream of thought. He took those revelations and he wrote most of these epistles, most of the New Testament, and thus we're encouraged by it. But he says, "I got this abundance of revelation, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations," I would add, "which I've received." He says, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me by a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." So, I said earlier, this is not talking about sickness. A thorn in the flesh is a phrase that we find in the Old Testament several times when the Lord told him, "Go do this to these people or they will be a thorn in the flesh to you." And who was it given to him by? A messenger of Satan, not God. So this is not coming from a good God. It is coming from an evil devil. And it was sent to buffet him. Now, what does buffet mean? It means to beat upon over and over. To be beat upon over and over. Now, this phrase, thorn in the flesh, we use phrases like that today. We just don't think about it. We might say, "Boy, that's so-and-so. He's a pain in the neck." Mark, I'm looking at you, but I'm not saying that about you, my brother. A pain in the neck. Now, some of you are laughing, not at what I said to Mark, but some of you are thinking about that person being a pain of some other part of anatomy. And so, we've all had those thoughts about other people. And so, what I want you to see is that Satan will use other people at times to buffet us. And he will actually do it when you're fighting a health issue. Send well-intending people to do what? To tell you how terrible things are, to make you feel sorry for yourself so that you won't keep your eyes on the Lord. And then look in verse 9 at what verse 8 is what Paul says. "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." And then in verse 9, the Lord said, and this is the part of the verse that I think we normally read and we normally leave this text in our mind with. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect," or is completed, "in weakness." And his grace is sufficient. Thank God that grace came to this earth in the person of Jesus. The law was given through Moses, but grace himself came to us, John says, in the first chapter of his gospel. But I want you to look at this last sentence in this verse today. "Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities," I prefer the word weaknesses, "why? That the power of Christ may rest." The word literally means there to build a tent covering. That the power of Christ may cover me. So what is he saying? He's giving us a clue that those who receive the Lord's power are not those who think they can do it of themselves all the time. But when we see his grace is sufficient to cover whatever's going on with us, however it's impacting us, in this world of pressures, but also in this physical world. When we quit trying to fight it ourselves and rest in him, now I'm not saying we don't fight to enter into that rest. Please don't misunderstand that. But what? When I do that in my physical weaknesses, in my thought, my wisdom of weakness, I have the power of God to come on me and strengthen me in my soul, in my flesh, in every way that I need it. Man, that just, I like the concept of that. It just comes and He builds a tent over us. That's how it rests on us. It stays on us. Now let me say here too, when we are weak and don't know what to do to help another person, we can also expect that same power. Because anytime a change takes place in our life for good, what has happened? We've seen the power of God at work in our life. I'm reminded, and I've shared this probably a couple of years ago, of a time when BJ and I were dealing with someone who we loved dearly, and we had reached the end of our ability. We just could not see a change. And the same thing would happen, and we would pray, and even if it left for a while, it would seem to come back. And we care deeply about this person. And so it's like we're at our wit's end. I don't know where to turn. And when we got that way and just began praying in the Spirit, BJ, I believe, got a gift of faith. I'm not talking about faith that comes by hearing the Word anointed. I'm talking about a special faith. And she also got a word of knowledge. And she spoke a phrase about loosing the tentacles that you've got holding him. That's not normally how my wife talks. And when she spoke that phrase, loose those tentacles, she did so with a faith that she knew it was going to happen. Why? Because what had happened to her? In her weakness, the power of God had come upon her and gave her that wisdom and gave her that supernatural faith that is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And that's why we ought to desire particularly those power gifts as well. And what did she do? She spoke that out and things changed in that individual's life at that very moment. So when we are weak, no matter what area, if we're fighting illness, if we're at our wit's end on how to deal with a matter, what do we know? What did we see early on in this study and in again today? Christ is our power and our wisdom. And we need both of them. We don't want to be like the Jews and the Greeks who just grab hold of one. We want to walk in the fullness of both of them. This Spirit of power rests upon us. Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah 40. And this is a really good scripture for me. 52 years ago, this past March, so don't spend the rest of the teaching now trying to figure out how old I am. If you really want to know, I'll tell you. But 52 years ago, my dad read the end portion of this scripture as my basketball team, my junior year in high school, was to play for the state championship. Now, let me tell you, we had reason to be concerned. The team that we were playing for the state championship had beaten us, to the best of my recollection, 28 points in the regionals. In other words, they whipped us bad. So many thought, they ain't got a chance. There was what? No hope. But you'll see this scripture and you'll see why it's important to us. In fact, I was talking to a buddy of mine this morning just before I came to Healing School who was on that team. And we got to talking about the prophetic impact of the Word, because Dad spoke that Word over the team. And what many people didn't recognize was Dad was athletic director. He also helped Coach Clifton, who's our coach. He would stand behind the team as we would come off the court. And he'd put his hands on his shoulders and just pray, as Coach Clifton was instructing. And what Scott said this morning was, man, I think about those words and it just gives me chills, because so many of the 12 or 13 of us on that team have been born again. A number of us are filled with the Spirit. People that you would have thought would have never gotten born again. And so I almost see this as a prophetic word. And yes, we did win the game, two overtimes. And so that'll be pertinent in what we read. So in Isaiah 40, I want to start in verse 9. So what do we do? Well, look at what this says. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion. And Zion is a type of the church. I might say, get out of your bed and get yourself up high. Look up. Stop looking down in the mully grubs. Look up. Get yourself on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Now I'm speaking to believers here who know the Lord. Lift up your voice, O Jerusalem. There is power in the words when you declare the word of God over you. When we close with today, you're going to see the name of Jesus and why it has, how it has power. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, and this is why you can say it, this is why you're joyful, here is your God. Jehovah Shammah, ever present with us. Verse 10. Behold, the Lord will come with what? Might. Might I say power. With his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him. Now, just let me remind you, you, born-again believers, you online as well, are the inheritance of Jesus. You are his reward. And so he is coming with his reward, and his recompense, or the work he has to do, is before him. Verse 11, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. Let me just remind you, some of you heard a series we did here at High Point earlier this spring on the names of the Lord. A shepherd, whether he's a good shepherd or a bad shepherd, is judged by the condition of his sheep. Yeah, glory to God. We can shout on that one. That's how he's judged. That's why he's so interested in you and I. That's why he will be judged good as we walk in all he's purchased on the cross. And it says, in his arms he will gather the lambs. So there's a tenderness about him. And carry them in his bosom. And he will gently lead the nursing ewes. And then finally, verse 12. How big is your God? That's a question you could ask. Who has measured? So they're going to answer that question with a question. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? And who marked off the heavens by the span? Now, span is normally 9 inches. But he's marking off billions and billions of miles. And he calculated the dust of the earth by measure. He did that so the earth would be just the right size, so it would rotate around this sun, which is 93 million miles away, that has so much power that if we were a little closer, we'd be crispy critters. If we were a little further, we'd be frozen. He's calculated all that. And he has the hills in a pair of scales. He weighed the mountains in balance and has the hills in a pair of scales. Now look down at verse 22. And let me just read verse 21 to you. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Thank you for putting that up there, Pastor Robert. Verse 22 now. It is he who sits above the circle, or who is enthroned in the heavens of the earth, over the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers to him. Yet, think of the love he has to us. It's no wonder he thinks of us as 1st, 2nd, 3rd John say all the time, O ye little children, little children, little children. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Can I just say it this way again? That's your daddy. That's my daddy. The all-powerful one. Verses 25 and 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their hosts by number. Now, how many stars are there? Innumerable. Innumerable. You can't number them, yet he has. The one who leads forth their host of these stars by number, and then look at this, he calls them by name. Now, in that phrase, do you see power? Do you see wisdom? And Christ has been made unto you both wisdom and power. And so that says again, I'm saying it one more time, we don't need to be just taught about the power. We need to have that power working in us. But we don't want to get so that we forget the Word of God and just try to get the power. You must have both. And then go down to verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, Jehovah, Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. Does that give you some idea about the power that dwells in him? And let me just say, you can't give away what you don't have. And that's true of our Father. But he's got all that. So there's the power. And then look at what's next. His understanding is inscrutable. There's no end to his wisdom, as we've been seeing. And this is where the devotion picks up then. In verse 29 that night, 52 years ago. Gosh, that seems impossible. He gives strength to the weary. It does not say he gives strength to the one who tries to make it happen in his own strength. He gives strength to whom? To the weary and to the one he lacks might. Now, wait a minute. Now, we've each got a certain degree of might, a certain willpower. But what is he talking about here? Who lacks might? Who lacks the might of the Lord to accomplish what he's enabled us to do by his grace. He will give us the power. And to him who lacks might, he does what? Increases power. Now, do you see how these verses line up with what we read concerning Paul in the preceding accounts? Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm going to get power. Paul said, I might boast of who I am and how strong I am and all the revelation I've got. But I know how I really am, and I certainly don't have what God has, and therefore he's a candidate in his humility versus pride to receive that power. Verse 30, though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble. Let me stop there. This is not just saying I don't believe that us as teenagers that night playing basketball in those two overtimes would naturally get tired. Yes, that happened. Yes, it happens today. Even young people get. But what he's saying is, we all as humans are going to reach that time where what? Where we get the end of our rope. Where we don't have the power. We don't have the strength to do it. So he's telling us this is going to happen. And then verse 31. Yet, those who, I'm going to read the whole thing and we'll come back and talk about it. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not get tired or weary. They will walk, King James says, and will not faint. New American Standard uses the word weary here, and not become weary. Why? Because they have been strengthened by their power, by his power, in our times of weakness. Now, I want to go back and look at the first part of this phrase in 31. The word wait there is the word in the Hebrew, kavah, K-Q-A-V-A-H. And that word in the Bible is often translated wait, as if we're waiting on. And it's also translated hope. But hope here is more of a Bible hope versus I'm just a hoping and a wishing. It is a hope that has, and this is what this word indicates, some type of expectation. Glory to God. Now, I want to read this verse to you in Young's Literal Translation. It reads a little difficult, but you'll enjoy it. Verse 31, but those expecting Jehovah. Do you see the hope that's related in that word there? Expecting. But those expecting Jehovah, what happens to them? They pass to power. It goes on and says, they run and are not fatigued. They go on and do not faint. So what is the key then? It's not, oh God, I need power. It is what? Those who are expecting that power because they're acknowledging Him and they're acknowledging their own inability to do it. Now, people would say, well, that's a good Old Testament scripture. Do we see that in the New Testament? I'm glad you asked. Go to Acts, the 3rd chapter with me. Now, there's a bunch of verses here, so I'm just going to kind of summarize and go through and talk about the really key ones. Verse 1, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the 9th hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, for the hour of prayer. And it's something that I believe they did frequently, as was their custom. Verse 2 says, as a certain young man who had been lame from his mother's womb, Acts 4 tells us he was at least 40 years old, was being carried along, and they fed him every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to do what? To beg. That's it. That was his only way of receiving. And then these are the key verses in this that I want to look at. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, I believe he recognized them, he began asking to receive alms. So he saw them. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. Saints, let me just tell you, whether you're ministering to somebody or receiving ministry, make it a habit to lock your eyes on them. Those ministering are going to see things from the Lord as you do that you did not know. And if you're going to lock your eyes on somebody, you're expressing some expectation that something is going to happen. Verse 5, look at what he did. Now, notice how this starts. He began to give them his attention. That tells me he wasn't giving them attention. That tells me he was just wishing that they were going to give him something until they said what? Look at me. In other words, he wasn't really expecting anything. But when he did, when they locked eyes together and he gave them his attentions, expectation rose because that's what it says. So that he was waiting, he fixed his eyes, and now an expectation to receive something from them comes. And what did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him and he grabbed him, and the man went doing what? Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Now, let me go back to Isaiah 40. I don't see it right away, but there's a part in here that talks about how these people are going to come to God. Well, it's down in the last part. I do know where it is. Thank you, Lord. Look at what this says. Now, what did this guy do? He raised him up, and then he went walking and leaping and praising. Does that sound like when they gain strength or when power comes upon him? I'm reading out of Isaiah 40:31. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not weary. I imagine that guy was jumping and jumping and jumping, and he got no fatigue whatsoever. Praising God all the time. Now, let's go back to this account. Look at what happened. All the people, verse 9, saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as the one who sat at the gate Beautiful of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Might we say that his healing, and I want to say this very clearly, his healing, which God wanted him to have, then became a testimony. Too many of us are looking for a testimony more than we are our healing. And you've got to learn God loves you so much that He's interested, first place, in you walking in the fullness of health that Jesus purchased for us. Don't get that cart before the horse. And then He was clinging to Peter. People ran together, and they even began to call Peter gods. And look at what he said in verse 12. When Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us? As if by our what? Own power or piety, we made him walk." Verse 13, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," a great phrase to use to the Jewish people, "the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus." Stop there. What did this healing do after the man was healed? It caused glory to come to the Lord. The one who you've delivered and disowned, talking about Jesus in the presence of Pilate, when he decided to release in verse 14, "But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." Now I want you to look down at verse 16. Talking about Jesus, talking about what he did, he said, "And on the basis of faith in his name," believing in the name, and in the series we did on that, you can only believe in the name because the acts of the person validate what that name is. In other words, when you believe in the name, you're believing that the person is who he says he is, which includes for our Jesus, wisdom and power. "On the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man." Stop there. If you want a verse that tells you the name of Jesus has power to it, that's it. If you reach a point in life where you don't know what to say, then don't cry Jesus in a defeated way. Declare the name of Jesus in a what? In a confident, overcoming way. Because the name of Jesus strengthened this man whom you see now, and the faith which comes through him has given him perfect health in the presence of you all. That's the power. That's the love of our God for you. Now I want to read to you verse 16 here, also in the Young's Literal. It says, "And on the faith of his name, the one whom you see and have known, his name made strong, even the faith that is through him did give him this perfect soundness before you all." So again, a manifestation of power. So how was he made strong? By that manifestation of power. So, this morning as we close, if you're weak, and this can be illness, it can be fatigue, it can be mental exhaustion, attacks of the enemy. It can even be those for persecution of gospel. This the same works. Whatever you need restraint for, and I dare say every one of us who are here, like most who all who are listening, there's some areas of our lives that we need strengthening in. So what I would like to do as we close here, and I have a list of 20 some odd scriptures. And we will be happy to, we're going to try to look a way to post these with this Facebook Live cast. I want to go through and I want you to stand up with me. And I want us to profess our confidence in the power of the Lord as we go through declaring His strength in us, Him being strong in us. And we're going to do this for 12 of them. All right? So just repeat it after me. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. That includes my healing. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let's do that one again. Let the weak say, I am strong. The joy of the Lord is my strength. With you, Lord, is wisdom and strength. Let's do that one again. With you, Lord, is wisdom and strength. Now, as you're saying this, those online, I hope you're doing it as well. Can you sense this power and the strength beginning to build in you? Here's another one from Psalms 18. It is God who girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. I want to say that first part again. It is God. It is my daddy who girds me with strength. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. You made me bold. This is talking to the Lord. You made me bold with strength in my soul. You made me bold with strength in my soul. Therefore, I would say, I go in the strength of the Lord God. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And I get stronger and stronger as I go. I go from strength to strength. I get stronger and stronger as I go. I go from strength to strength. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the people here and I pray for the people who are viewing with us online. And Father, I ask these people to put themselves in a position to just receive this power, this strengthening right now. Father, I don't feel a need to go lay hands on them. You said it is you who gird us with strength. We said your word, which said it is you who makes us stronger as we go. So Holy Spirit, I just look to you, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit who exerts power from creation to today. I look to you to manifest what each person needs in this room. And those who are listening over on the broadcast as well. I just declare healing power for soul and for body, for mental distress, for torment in our mind, to drive out fear as we declare your word and replace that fear with your word and not the thoughts of fear with thoughts about you and who you are. I speak healing to bodies that are in pain. And I say, be free, be delivered from that pain. Thyroids. I speak to thyroids and say, by the power of God, you function perfectly. I see people with pain in their hips. And I say, in the name of Jesus, be strong in that. Be healed in that. No more feeble knees. Thank you, Father. Now, if we did not say something in that last few statements that fits your issue, you feel free to declare that issue being made complete by the power of God. Speak it over yourself. Your words have more power over your life than any other person speaking those words. And what have we learned here? Those of you who are here with us and maybe not watching for the first time, the word of God in your mouth, the Lord tells us, is just as powerful as His word in His mouth. So see yourself declaring with power, get up Look to the mountains, go up on the high and proclaim, my God is with me, with his wisdom and his power. Glory, glory, glory. We thank you for joining us online today. We're going to pray for people here as they wish. Again, I would encourage you to listen to this several times. Let it build you up. But also, come join us here at High Point Church every Thursday morning at 10:30 as we meet together to break the good word of God's healing desire for you and I that has already been paid for by Jesus. We love you. Thank you for joining us again.